Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Kehan. Today we'll discuss the recently published article by Turan et al. Titled Cerebrovascular Function, Oxidative Stress, and Learning Capacities. This article published in our March 2011 issue. My guests today are Associate Editor Nancy Kanagi, Senior Author Eric Turan, and Leading Expert Frank Ferraci. Let's get started.
Thank you, Kara. In looking at this study, it's really addressing the problem of dyslipidemia and the observation that it can accelerate age-related declines in cerebrovascular endothelial function. So when endothelial dysfunction develops, this then in turn can lead to a decrease in cerebral blood flow and corresponding neurological deficits. This recent study from Eric Turan's laboratory tested the hypothesis that chronic congestion of the polyphenol antioxidant catechin, which is a component of green tea, can prevent or perhaps even reverse cerebrovascular changes in a mouse model of hypercholesterolemia. So now in this study, atherosclerotic mice were given catechin from age 3 months to 6 months, and in these mice, the catechin treatment prevented a decline in learning abilities and improved both acetylcholine-induced dilation and flow-mediated dilation. So this study then seems to indicate that catechin can prevent cerebrovascular dysfunction in a setting of really severe dyslipidemia. And now I have a few questions that I'd like the two of you to discuss. First, Eric, could you tell us a little bit about the model that you used and some of the vascular characteristics that normally develop in these mice?
Certainly, yes. This is a mouse that is knocked down for the LDL receptor and that overexpressed the human ApoB100 lipoprotein. So it is quite a severe model of dyslipidemia, with sevenfold increase in both cholesterol and triglycerides. It has been developed by Ellen Hobbs in Texas, and in fact, the colony has been initiated with mice that are generously given by her to me. And at 3 months of age, they start to develop spontaneously on a normal diet atherosclerosis in the aorta, in the carotid arteries also. And we have never seen atherosclerotic plaques at 6 months in these mice in the cerebral arteries, the circle of Willis or the major brain arteries, but at 1 year of age, we have signs of macroscopic lesions in the brain. And the endothelial dysfunction is really impaired starting at 3 months. We have looked, the earliest age is 3 months of age, and it goes to further decline at 1 year.
Okay, so this is a model that when you're looking at it, it hasn't developed any visible changes in the cerebral vasculature, at least previously that hadn't been noted.
Yes, no, definitely.
Okay.
And that was a big concern, in fact, because it could have been the model, as you can see, there's a reduction in cerebral blood flow. And one of the reasons could have been that atherosclerosis of the carotids is already significant, so you reduce blood flow through the carotids. But it's probably not the case because, as you can see in the paper, catechin did not improve basal cerebral blood flow.
Okay. And so now if we go over to you, Frank, do you want to outline a couple of things that you felt were strengths and weaknesses of the paper?
Sure. I have to first commend the authors for taking on this problem. You know, this basic question about the link between, vascular disease and brain and you know, cognitive related things, learning and memory and so on. We sort of all feel like, or the field feels like, that those links exist, but it's very hard to sort of prove cause and effect in doing these kind of things. So it's, I think they're commended for taking on and for all the things that they measured. Some of the questions I think that come out of the study are, when you give this antioxidant, whether clearly there's some beneficial vascular effects, whether it's endothelial function or the neurovascular coupling, and then as already noted, there's no effect on baseline blood flow, but if you have any insight into whether all the beneficial effects are vascular based, or whether some of them are actually effects on neurons or other cells that are involved in the response,
that's a very good point. And in fact, this is always the question. We all know in the field that an antioxidant may have an effect that will be different from another antioxidant. And in fact, we came to discover that catechins may have effect additional of being antioxidant. They may have additional effects, such as, for example, impacting on the metalloproteinase and so inhibiting them. I mean, it's in the literature that catechins are In silico, I mean, in the test tube, they are able to block MMP9 activity. We know that neurons are in degenerative disease, or even before the onset of neurodegenerative disease, there is a strong increase in MMP9 activity, for example. So one of the effects of Cartesian could be on the neural, indeed. Here, of course, we tested only the vascular side. There is an improvement of the endothelial function. There is a prevention of the decline, but there is not a normalization of the endothelial function. If you look closely to the data, there is, in fact, it's more a prevention of the decline. So the endothelial dysfunction remains the same at 3 months of age in atherosclerotic mice and at 6 months of age with the treatment with Cartesian. So this may partly explain why there is not a reversal or a normalization of the baseline cerebral blood flow. So it's probably a mix. I think the answer is really, I don't really know.
One of the questions related to the mechanisms is, we know that for kind of all the responses you looked at, resting flow and neurovascular coupling and endothelium dependent dilation, that NO is involved to some extent with all those things, but things like neurovascular coupling, you know, it's thought to be just one of several mediators. So when you think about how this this compound works, is it simply by protecting NO, or do you think that you're also affecting some of these other putative mediators of, for example, of neurovascular coupling?
That's a difficult question. There is an improvement of NO, of ENOS activity. We have another study currently in revision in the journal that strongly suggests that, in fact, when you treat with Cartesian for a longer period of time, in this case, we started to treat the animals at the age of 3 months until the age of 1 year. And clearly, there is a decrease in NO or ENOS activity. With Cartesian treatment, we preserve ENOS activity. So there is clearly a direct effect of Cartesian, direct or at least protective effect by maybe an indirect way, but there is a protective effect of Cartesian dipolyphenol on ENOS activity.
Do you have an idea of what's going on with elevating the NOS activity, if it's a oxidative stress uncoupling or what the mechanism is of that?
Well, one of the simpler explanation, if you don't change expression, you change activity by, you know, there is the theory that it's possible that with oxidative stress, ENOS get uncoupled, and rather than producing nitric oxide, it will produce free radicals.
I think one of the interesting things about the data is that although a number of sort of diverse responses, you know, whether it's myogenic tone or flow mediated response or endothelium dependent dilation, or you know, neurovascular coupling, they were all, you know, were protected to some extent by this compound. Resting blood flow was not affected. Mm-hmm. And that's a little bit, in some ways, it's surprising, and it makes you wonder, you know, about the mechanisms of what's controlling resting flow and these evoked responses.
Yes, no, you're right. And in fact, this is why in the perspective, in the follow-up of this study, what we are going to do is to treat the mice for a longer period of time and to see if there is a maintenance of the beneficial effect of Cartesian on memory capacities.
You know, this link between resting flow and these chronic changes in flow that are not, you know, they do not produce ischemia, but they have arguably moderate or modest effects on flow, but in a chronic condition can have a major impact on brain function and higher function. And it, you know, this is another sort of example of that. You know, I think the field in general, you know, in the future to move these kind of things forward even more, you know, we need to use this kind of approach and then fine-tune it even more and try to do, you know, very vascular-specific interventions if that's possible, and then sort of be able to test this cause and effect thing even more directly. I mean, I think most everybody in the field believes that these links are there, but they're, as I noted at the beginning, you know, they're very hard to prove that, you know, how much of the cognitive decline, if you will, is vascular-based and how much of it's neuronal-based, and it's probably both. It certainly has implications for therapy and for intervening in conditions where dementia and so on are involved.
And Eric, did you want to comment on perhaps future directions that you're going to take this study, the next step that you're working on?
Yes, well, I want to answer. So what Frank said is really true, is that we assume that in atherosclerotic or in risk factors for cardiovascular disease are certainly important for cognitive decline. In fact, all the risk factors for Alzheimer's disease, for example, are all cardiovascular, including the genetic factor so far, which is a mutation in the ApoE lipoprotein. So the problem is, one of the limits of the current publication of this work is that indeed we don't clearly establish a link between vascular dysfunction and the neuronal decline, and that is going to be difficult. Prevention also, I think I'm going to do a lot of experiments where we are going to try to protect the vascular function. For example, we have mice that are running, freely moving voluntary running in for their life, as long as we can. Actually, we are hoping to have them running for at least a year and see if we can protect them. So that's one of the approach. The other thing is to try different therapies, such as different antioxidants. These are the kind of directions we are moving for right now.
We'll go out with the message that prevention is the best treatment. Drink green tea.
Yeah.
And we'll look for more updates on this study from Eric's lab. Okay, thank you both very much.
And to our readers, thanks for listening to the HAP Heart and Circ podcast series.